Let's take the scriptures now and turn in them to the book of Haggai. And the book of Haggai, which is the third to last book in the Old Testament. And we'll be reading in chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. And we'll see this is kind of in the same context as we read in Ezra and Nehemiah after the exile. And they're building the temple. So that's where we are here. So Haggai chapter 1, starting in verse 1, these are God's words. In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even a time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt." And the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough, and he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, and on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnants of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people showed reverence for the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, "I am with you, declares the Lord." So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. And those are God's words. Beloved, the context again here is the second year, it says in verse 1, of Darius, but not the Darius that we think of and from the book of Daniel that we've been reading and we heard about recently, but this is the third Persian king that would be after Cyrus. Remember the Cyrus the Great that we are hearing about in the book of Daniel. This is the third Persian king after him. And so this follows the release of the Babylonian exile. So they're already released. They're already back in the land of Canaan, the land of Judah. And what we read in the passage is that they've had ample time to set up their homes. And so they've been there for a while. They've built their homes back that have been destroyed previously from the exile. But now they've built them back they've built actually really nice homes, paneled homes. And yet the house of the Lord, the temple that was destroyed approximately over 70 years before that, the house of the Lord, the temple, has not been rebuilt. It's still laying in ruins. It's a desolation still. And so this provoked the Lord to warn them and to even bring, it says, drought on the land to show them what they're doing to themselves. They're creating a famine for themselves by not having the temple and the presence of the Lord amongst them. And so he said to them twice in the passage, consider your ways. What is more important, your houses or the worship of God? And so he commands them to build the temple. Otherwise, that great famine would continue and it would become worse. And through this, the Lord stirred up Zerubbabel, who was their governor, basically acting as their ruler. They didn't have a king anymore. And also the high priest, Joshua, the rest of the people, as they had come out of the exile to come and work in the house of the Lord some 23, 24 days later. And they started the work. And so here is kind of a breath of fresh air when we've been reading the prophets, a people who actually listened to what God had said. And they repented. And they turned and they started obeying God for the, you know, one of the first times we've probably seen in the prophets. It doesn't happen very often. And so, what does he say in verse 13? As they started obeying, he says, I am with you. I am present with you. Just as the temple showed and manifested to them in God's presence, being among the people of God. He gives them that covenant promise and says, it is true now. I am with you. And so, beloved, the Lord through His Word warns us often as we go through the Scriptures. We'll hear a warning today in Romans. And we are to heed those warnings and follow what He says to do. And often that is, to be very simplistic, believe and follow after me. And He promises, I will be with you. So may that be true of all of us here today and us even corporately as a church, that we would believe what He says and follow after Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because if we love God, then we will, as it says in 1 John, keep His commandments. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank You that You here give us a hope in a sense that there are some, even in the Old Testament, who heard the prophets and the warnings they gave, and yet there were some who did believe. And there were some who obeyed. And we thank You for their example to us. And even though they were in their sin and focusing on their daily lives of living in houses and being comfortable there, they were spiritually, because they did not rebuild the temple, they were spiritually bringing famine upon their souls. And Father, we pray that we would not ever do that, but that we would be a people who love to gather together and worship on the Lord's Day. And that being more important than building up our homes or making our lives more comfortable. But that Your worship would be the most important aspect of our lives and the focus of our lives as we are satisfied in Christ alone. Because it is here that You even say that You enjoy the house and the corporate worship of God more than all our dwellings, as You say in Psalm 87. And so, Father, we ask that You would make that so in all of our lives, from the littlest of children here to the oldest among us today. Father, make us a people who love Your worship. And Father, we pray that as we continue in worship today, that You would cause us, as we hear Your Word, to believe what we hear, to trust that it is true, because You are the God of truth, and that You are faithful to Your promises, and that even nothing there is nothing that we can do that nullifies Your faithfulness, that nullifies Your truth or righteousness or justice. And so, Father, we pray that we would be those who believe what You say and trust in it for our lives, and that You would bring about a great salvation, sanctification, a reformation in our lives, in our church, and in the church, the family of God throughout the world. Father, we confess and we are saddened as we think of much of the church throughout the world that are often, even perhaps sometimes ourselves, but Father, we pray that You would keep us from it. And yet there are some throughout the world who often go astray. And they dabble in the things of the world and the pleasures of the world. And Father, we pray for our congregation and all congregations, your visible church throughout the world today, that you would keep all from error and that you would bring about a change in all churches, that they would love your word above all other things, then in that loving you above all other things, even what people might think of us, just because we are following after you, just as these people in Haggai began following after you and building a temple. And yet, we know that some of them were discouraged because it lacked the glory of the previous temple. Now, Father, may we not think about so much the appearance of things, but rather that your church is growing and yet also being faithful to your word. Father, probably most of us here don't know, but Father, there is an elder in our denomination who is running for governor of Texas. And Father, we ask that you would give him wisdom and you would sanctify his heart, because he is proposing wicked things of not ruling in accordance with your word, but ruling in accordance with what people want. Father, we pray that people would not rule in accordance with what the people want, but rather rule in accordance with what you want, because you are king over all. And Father, we ask that you would bless our governing authorities and rulers and cause them to love you. Love you enough to rule in accordance with your word, that we would not have a desire to rule in our own ways or be self-autonomous, but that we would rule according to your law, not our own. Father, we love you, and we love your Son. We're thankful that you have given us your Spirit, and pray that you would enable us to be sanctified in heart, to cleanse us of our sin, and that you would bless us in our worship, enable us as we come before your throne to worship, to even as we will in a moment, sing your praises. Because we cannot sing your praises unless your Spirit works in us, in our hearts, in our mouths, even in our minds, in our desires, in our emotions. Father, work in all parts of us, the body and soul. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.